This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
See, I'm burning. saw you there.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And this week, the tech gods are smiling upon us, so we're doing Facebook as well as RBN. It is Sunday, April 8th, 2018, and today's topic is, what the heck is going on? So you have to say, what the heck is going on? And so what we're going to talk about today is a little bit more about the opioid crisis, because I think there's a pretty big misunderstanding last week. I would just like to really go a lot deeper into understanding what might be reasonable solutions, why and why not. And so today's topic is prosecuting drug companies for the opioid situation. Does this really make sense, or is it just a structured bribery? You know, what's really going on here? I think in order to really understand this and get a grip on it, one has to dispense with concepts like good and evil, crime and punishment. I think we just take those and throw them out the window. Instead, we can think of things like desirable and undesirable. In other words, what are you really trying to accomplish? And what is desirable? What's not desirable? What's really the goal? And is prosecuting Big Pharma, whether you win — when I say you, I mean the states, so different states and union are prosecuting drug companies — so whether the states win or whether they lose, what's really happening, and does either outcome bring the public or the country or even any in particular individual closer to having a better quality of life and having and being free of the negative effects of opioids? So the first thing to do is, I think, to dispense again with good and evil. Instead, say, well, what do we really want? What's going on here? So more or less 56,000 Americans every year — that's a pretty big number, more than what die in car accidents, just by the way — are dying every year from opioids. These are drugs that have been approved by the FDA, by the way. And so if we want to reduce the number of deaths or eliminate them, why not? Is prosecuting drug companies going to accomplish that? And I think that's an important thing to understand and to really get a grip on, because if you don't, then you can just be going in circles and circles and circles and circles. Maybe a loved one will die from opioids, maybe you'll die from opioids, or maybe, you know, those lives will be ruined, but the problem really won't be solved. And so I think it's important to take a look at this, and it's worthy of 3 hours, which is about how much time we have. First, of course, a word from our sponsor. Stop by vitalitycapsules.com, check it out, get your free report. It's free. It used to be as much as $897, but it's 2018, it's the internet, so it's free. And the name of the report is the Candida Cleaner, and it teaches you everything you need to know about making turpentine a positive part of your healthy existence. That website again is vitalitycapsules.com. All right, so what's going on with this issue? So the headline here, and the internet site, is thefreethoughtproject.com. State sues Big Pharma treatment programs solve opioid epidemic. All right, there's a lot in that title. But let's just take a look at this and see what's going on, and then consider if the states lose, what happens, and if the states win, what happens. All right, so Arkansas, it's a state in the United States, those of you listening internationally, has become the latest — that means there are many others — state to hold Big Pharma accountable for for its role in the country's ongoing opioid crisis. But unlike other states that have filed lawsuits against major pharmaceutical companies, Arkansas is demanding compensation for solutions to end the epidemic. The lawsuit, which named 52 opioid manufacturers, 13 distributors, a flu physician, some pharmacists, and retailers, argues that the pharmaceutical companies falsely touted the benefits of long-term opioid use. I can definitely attest to that because I was practicing medicine when they did that. And they told me that those opioids were not even addictive. In fact, they had the gall to tell me the opioids weren't even opioids. Example, tramadol. All right. So, each defendant spent some and continues to spend millions of dollars on promotional activities and materials that falsely deny or trivialize the risks of opioids while overstating the benefits of using them to treat chronic pain. This is an important thing to understand, overstating the benefits. In other words, these opioids are patently, on the face of it, obviously not effective for the treatment of pain. The fact that the pain is chronic means the opioid didn't work. That's what chronic pain is. If the opioid worked, then the chronic pain would not be chronic. It would be gone. It would be done. Okay, so just to understand our English here. As to the risks, defendants falsely and misleadingly, and sometimes contrary to the language of their drugs' labels, downplay the serious risk of addiction, promoted the concept of pseudo-addiction, and thus advocated that the signs of addiction should be treated with more opioids. Now, they're accusing drug companies of doing this and other entities, but I want you to know, I went to medical school, and this is exactly what we were taught in medical school. The best treatment for addiction is the opioid. It stops the addictive and withdrawal symptoms. Only we were taught that for alcohol. Okay. So, the lawsuit heightens the damage of the opioid epidemic and has caused the state of Arkansas, noting when individuals become addicted to opioids, the addiction affects every aspect of their lives and often results in job loss, loss of custody of children, physical and mental health problems, homelessness, and incarceration. Now, let's take a look at this. What's with the incarceration? Well, first thing you do to stop the incarceration is make the drugs legal, right? Who told Arkansas it had to make a crime out of this? So the incarceration is a crime, is a issue, a situation, if you will, of Arkansas's own making. All right. Homelessness. Yeah, there's a lot of homelessness out there. And there are many aspects or problems that contribute to it. Mental health problems. A lot of people have mental health problems. But loss of custody of children. Since when is that the state's business? You know what I mean? There are custody issues every day. And there are a lot of couples who separate and say, you know what? The kids are yours. I'm giving up my custody. Where is the evil there? Should the state step in and say, wait, wait, wait? You can't give up custody of your children? What is the state interest in someone having or not having custody of their children? I don't know. So what we have here is a bunch of, to my observation, imaginary problems. Results in job loss. All right, person loses a job, guess what? Maybe someone else will apply for it. And a lot of people are financially stable without jobs. Ever think about that? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of folks out there who don't have jobs. In fact, they don't even want jobs. A lot of folks have their own business or some other way of supporting themselves, and they don't have jobs, and they don't want jobs. So where does the state step in and say for each and every person, they need to have a job? They need to have custody of their children. They need to not have physical and mental problems. You know, a lot of people are okay with these things. Like I have people in my family. They have a lot of physical problems. They're not using opioids. They have a lot of physical problems. Why? It's of their own choosing. And so, and homelessness. You know, I live in a country where there are people who live in the jungle, literally in the jungle, without things like a roof or a front door. And they're doing pretty well. You know, they're raising their families, they're having children. They're doing just fine. So we've got the government stepping in here, listing all of these situations as problems. However, when they're desirable, the question is, there are times when these things are desirable in a person's life and times when they're undesirable. And so the state has stepped in and said, hey, these things are desirable for all people at all times. So then it goes on to say, Big Pharma's efforts to convince doctors to prescribe opioids like candy have worked extremely well. Whoa, 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 stop right there. These opioids are approved by the FDA. Mm-hmm. Then, the standard of care, that means method of prescription, prescribing them, is set by nameless, faceless organizations, call them hospitals, drug companies, insurance companies, and then doctors are punished and penalized for not adhering to it. So, to blame the doctor, not that he lacks free will, and let the rest of this constellation off the hook is a bit disingenuous, say dishonest. So opioids are now the most prescribed class of drugs, generating $11 billion in revenue for drug companies in 2014 alone. Whoa, whoa. So I happen to be in practice from 1990 to 2000, even better than that. I was in the medical, you know, learning either as a resident or doing other medical jobs from 1979 to 1990. I mean, does anyone know that Valium was like the number one drug for several of those years? Mm-hmm. Valium. In fact, it was so outrageous that I think in New York State, one doctor was prescribing one-third of all the Valium for the state of New York. Just saying, this is not the first time, this ain't the first rodeo. Addictive, mind-altering drugs with little medical benefit have been number one on the prescription charts for some time. And when the opioids and Valium circled out of the top slots, the cholesterol drugs circulated in. And many of you may not know this, but it takes 1,200 years to benefit from using a cholesterol drug. And that benefit, of course, is very small. For those of you who are going to live more than 1,200 years, raise your hand. So, again, the state brings these things to the fore. It uses words like alarmingly, letting the reader know, excuse me, you shouldn't be alarmed if you're not alarmed yet. Are you alarmed yet? Are you alarmed yet? If you're not, you should be alarmed. And so, many Arkansas addicted to prescription opioids are now turning to heroin because the supplies are similar high at a fraction of the street cost of prescription opioids. Instead of just demanding millions of dollars in damages, Arkansas's lawsuit is unique in that it calls for the manufacturers and distributors to pay for the creation of mental health clinics, opioid abuse centers, and other treatment programs. Now, I've done a whole radio show on this, but it is a fact that opioid abuse centers, health clinics, mental health clinics, and treatment programs are totally ineffective. So, Arkansas is saying, we're going to ask the drug companies who have created what we perceive to be a problem to put out a lot of money in an area we know to be totally ineffective. Okay. So, again, this is why I say we talk about good and evil. It gets very confusing. Because, well, is the state evil for demanding money from a corporation to be spent in an area that's of no benefit to its people, since, you know, the government is there supposedly on behalf of the people. So this is a little bit concerning. But again, if we dispense with good and evil, I think we can see this a bit more clearly. Our case is unique in that regard because it focuses on a remedy that will solve this problem. And this is an attorney, a lawyer, who says this. So you can never solve a problem using ineffective means, but then we haven't even defined the problem. Let's just take a minute to define the problem. The problem is people are dying of using opioids. I mean, that is the problem. Begin, and that's the problem. Whether people are losing their jobs, people lose their jobs every day. Whether they don't have custody of their kids, a lot of folks don't want custody of their kids. Whether they have a job, a lot of folks don't want jobs. They have other ways of existing. Maybe they've married someone and that person has a job. Maybe they start their own business and that's their source of income. Maybe they maybe they have a pension. So a lot of folks who don't want jobs. And so for the state to say, we're going to engage in legal activity and litigation because people are losing jobs, you have to scratch your head and say, well, wait a minute. What's going on here? Do we have a high unemployment rate? Do we have a low unemployment rate? Is there a lack of jobs? You know, what's the deal here? And none of this is mentioned. We have all these assumptions that make no sense. Okay. So lawsuit also know the statistics. That's the numbers. And they've shown that many individuals who are addicted to opioids start with prescription painkillers and then turn to heroin when their prescriptions run out. Now wait, this says many. What's many? Just so you guys know what many is less than half, at least less than half. Few is like maybe 1 or 2%. So we're somewhere between 2% and 50% of people who use heroin started with these opioid prescription drugs. All right. So at least 75% of all people who began to use opioids in the 2000s started with prescription drugs. Okay, so their number is 75%. And 25%, of course, did not. But anyway, however, despite the fact that heroin being sold in states like Arkansas has been found to be laced with the synthetic opioid fentanyl. By the way, fentanyl is used for general anesthesia. Those of you who are anxious for your neck surgery. So I'll have a moment of silence for my brother who's having brain surgery tomorrow. He'll be getting fentanyl, I'm sure. So fentanyl causes an alarming increase in overdose deaths. Nothing has been done to make pharmaceutical companies pay for their role in the crisis. Now, despite the scope of these statewide efforts, the effects of defendants, that would be the drug companies are prosecuting, marketing scheme have yet to be reversed and continue to ravage the state and Arkansas families. Prescription opioid abuse has enormous impact on the health and safety of individuals, as well as communities they inhabit. Some of the repercussions facing individuals include, and the lawsuit, of course, gives a list, and blah, blah, blah. All right. Now, here's the thing. The goal is to reduce deaths from opioids. That's it, reduce deaths from opioids. And so we've got the state saying or suggesting that they're not going to use deaths from opioids as a measure of their success. Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. They're going to measure job loss. They're going to measure loss of custody of children. They're going to measure physical health problems. They're going to measure mental health problems. They're going to measure homelessness, and they're going to measure incarceration. So up front, they have defined their objectives so as to exclude the one measurable outcome of material importance to most people. I mean, that would be my end point, is reducing deaths from opioids. And so the state says, no, we don't want to do that. Never mind a person's most important asset is their life. If they're alive, they can always get another job. They can always, you know, chit-chat with their kids when they're grown. There's always time to heal. And after mental health problems, they can find a crowd that's got the same problems they got, and they all get along, have a good time together. And as for homelessness, maybe they'll pick up some survivalist techniques and do just fine without a home. And incarceration, that's created by the state. The state makes the laws and rules that result in incarceration. So managing the opioid epidemic is not a reasonable way to approach any of these objectives. So you've got a problem, you say, which is opioid use. You pick endpoints irrelevant to the opioid use. And ignore the one endpoint, deaths from opioids. Okay, so we've got a state. Now, this is not the only state. There's other states engaging in these lawsuits. And so let's just say, for the sake of discussion, that the state is successful. They win. They win. And the drug companies pay. Oh, my God, do they pay. They pay, they pay, they pay. We don't even need to know the amount of money. We'll just call it money. Now, the issue then is, what happens to this money? Well, there's a good question. Well, they told you that they're going to spend it on treatment centers. And they're going to spend it on drug programs and health centers. So the state has been very clear. They're going to spend it on measures that have historically proven to be ineffective. Ineffective in reducing addiction and ineffective in helping people live longer. All right. So if they win, they're going to spend the money on something ineffective. In terms of even influencing opioid use, let alone influencing opioid death. So they've already promised that they're going to use the money on something ineffective. That's number one. So the next thing you take a look at is, what about the drug company? What's their position on this? I can't see their position. Let's talk about their situation. Since I haven't talked to any drug company representatives or whatever, I can't say what their position is, but I can certainly say their situation based on my 10 years of private practice and, you know, 12 years of medical educational process, and just kind of keeping one eye on the situation. The drug companies are basically companies. They're producing a product, they're collecting revenue, and they're making, well, let's call it a profit. As long as a settlement allows them to remain profitable, what's going to happen? They're going to produce more and more and more of whatever they're producing. It's going to have more and more and more of whatever the effect is. The government's going to get money from these programs, and the drug company is going to make more profit. In other circles, that's known as a bribe. So when you have an individual engaged, or a company, engaged in activity that, let's just say, is harmful, undesirable for the public, it may even be in violation of a few laws, and all they do is pay a fee to the government to allow them to continue that activity, then that's called a bribe. And so what we have going on here in plain view is a state, via the legal system, trying to shake down a company for a bribe. And again, up front, we know that this is not going to solve the problem. Why? Because the state has been very careful to structure its request in this lawsuit to ask for something that will not solve the problem. We know this. We're going to commercial now, and we'll be back after commercial. No, please don't go.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on, and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right, so we're talking about that. If we have a state, a government entity, let's call it, ostensibly acting on behalf of its citizens, engaging in legal activity to extract money from a corporation, to spend it on activity that's documented to be of no known benefit to its citizens. Okay, so that's what's going on. Now, you can have, within all of this, there are a lot of shades of complexity, intrigue, cooperation. And so, if this lawsuit is successful, if this corporation is successfully victimized in what is a shakedown, then you now transition to a situation where the profit from the corporation and the economic benefit to the government are in sync. So the more profit the company makes, the more benefit to the company. So now they become silent partners. So let's take a look at first of all, let me make sure we've got this thing taken care of. All right, we got that. So let's take a look at the tobacco industry. I think tobacco is an excellent example. So it was decided that tobacco was bad for people. And the problem is, so I wouldn't say the problem, the solution. So the problem is tobacco use. Tobacco has been causing people to die and be unhealthy. And so the government says, well, wait a minute. What can we do? So we're going to punish those tobacco companies. We're going to put a tax on the tobacco. And we're going to do this to deter tobacco use. Now, what has happened, though, is the government has become a silent partner. It has basically become a promoter, or let's just say enabler of tobacco use. Why would that be? All right, so if we take a look then at these statistics, I'm going to go back to the year 2000. The government received $7.2 billion, that's B as in boy, billion dollars, from cigarette taxes. And the state's able until 08, and then, excuse me, then increased to $12 billion in 2009. Meanwhile, people kept smoking cigarettes. They kept dying. Probably wondering why I had this cough. I have an ice cream sensitivity. I went to a birthday party last week and had ice cream. And then yesterday, I went on an 8-hour hike. So, there you have it. All right. And during the hike, I ran out of ginger tea, which was actually controlling things pretty well. All right, so the revenue went in 08 to 09 up to $12 billion. And then in 2010, $17 billion. Tapered down a bit and leveled out to $13.3 billion. I mean, does anyone think the government really wants anyone to stop smoking cigarettes? I don't think so. So we have what amounts here to $13 billion in profit the government received every year from the tobacco companies without even having to sell the tobacco. So this is great. Now the use of tobacco has leveled off or declined over the years for many reasons. However, the sales have simply moved, as they say, offshore. But the other issue is tobacco-related mortality. What's going on with that? So this is 2018. It says more than 480,000 deaths every year happen from tobacco smoke. So I happen to have been in medical practice back in the 90s. This number is either slightly more or totally unchanged. In fact, slightly more. So, what has happened then, as a result of these cigarette taxes, is no lives have been saved. The government has gotten more money, and the manufacturers have been permitted to engage in this, we'll just call it, undesirable activity. So we can expect the same sort of transition with these successful state suits. And this is nothing more than bribes. That's all this is. And it's because people have been indoctrinated in government schools, K through 12, because people have gone and gotten advanced degrees, we'll call them bachelor's, master's, doctorates, PhDs, whatever, they're not able to see this bribery in plain view. So, of course, I live, you know, offshore. And so, when I was living, so offshore, the people here look at this and say, bribery in the United States is totally out of control. How can they say that other governments, third world countries, are primitive because bribes are paid? Well, that's all this is. This is just legalized bribery. From the same government that is telling U.S. businessmen they can't pay bribes to other countries and to other governments. But that's all this is. And so getting a situation where bribes are being paid is not going to solve the situation. All it's going to do is create a legal transfer of money from one group to another so that an activity that's undesirable may continue. I think one needs to understand this in order to understand the full weight of what this means for a state to engage in litigation to force a company to pay out this kind of money or any kind of money for this kind of problem. And the government is very, very clear in focusing, being very careful to focus on having the company spend the money for things that are known to be ineffective in curtailing the use of this dangerous product. And so what's happening then is the government is sending a signal to the company saying, hey, we don't want to stop your opioid sales or profits. We just want a piece of the action. See, we're going to ask you to do stuff that will not possibly impact the problem. So then the company, in this case it happens to be a drug company, but that's irrelevant. The company says, okay, good, all right, thumbs up. Our lawyers will talk to your lawyers, and we know we'll kind of settle on number here. And the judge, which is controlled by the government, will, you know, engage in some flowery language. We'll even have our PR department help you out with that. And we'll settle on some publicly agreed upon bribe, and we'll get the public on board with this slanting by saying, oh, look at that company, it's being punished. So winning this lawsuit is going to create a very unsafe situation. The deaths from opioids, once these losses are, say, they're all settled in favor of the government, opioid use can be expected to at least stay the same. Not opioid use, opioid deaths stay the same, if not actually take an upward direction. So punishing, if you want to call it that, or the companies in this public manner is totally useless. And it's simply a matter, what's really going on is the amount of the bribe is being determined publicly in plain view and being mediated by the judicial system. So we've established then, I think, pretty clearly, that paying money is totally ineffective. So cigarettes, it didn't work. My favorite is these drugs that have been established to be harmful. And in one case, I think it's actually an antibiotic, the company went to court, and the court decided the company was responsible for the harm done by its drug. All right, fair enough. What was the settlement? The settlement was the company would continue to sell the drug. However, anyone harmed by the drug could just make a phone call, send in a medical record, and boom, a check would be written. So what happens here? Well, what happens there is, again, the same thing. The company engaged in the activity pays a certain amount of money they pay out, whether it's to the government or to the so-called harmed individual is irrelevant, because what happens? The harm continues. The future harm is in no way mitigated. Lives are not saved. People are not benefited. And the harmful activity continues. So what you've created then is more economic growth, if you will. You've created a new industry. You've created, just like the state said, we want to create jobs. So we're going to have these treatment centers. Then we're going to have the drug company fund them. So what's that got to do with the state? Well, the state gets a W-2 for these people, and the state gets taxes. So the state's like, we're not that greedy. We're just going to have you pay, let's say, a dollar, and we know we're going to get 30 cents on that dollar in our sales tax, state tax, and income tax. So, I'm sorry, property tax. So property tax, sales tax, and state income tax. So we know we're going to get 30%. So why don't you spend this dollar? We, the state, will get 30 cents. Our citizens will get mollified with their 70 cents on the dollar. You can keep selling your drugs and making profit, and everyone's cool. And it's like, you know, like, good, yeah. So that's what's really going on here. And so to litigate this, I believe, is not at all in the best interest of the citizens. It's not in the best interest of solving the problem, because it's clearly not going to solve the problem. The state has sent a clear message to the other side. Hey, we are not interested in any way diminishing your profits. All we want is a piece of the action. Give us a piece of the action, and we're going to be cool. And so that's what this article actually says. Now, this is appearing on the freethoughtproject.com, I'm sure a left-wing website that considers themselves to be, on the side of the people or something like that, and they think that they're thinking creatively. But their headline, state sets massive precedent. It's not a precedent. We've seen this. I've seen this happen again and again and again, you know, with cigarettes, with alcohol, with many drugs. Where you make, they're saying big pharma, but any corporation doesn't matter. Pay to fix any problem doesn't matter, fill in the gap that they cause. So the problem generally does not get fixed. Money changes hands, and a big chunk of that money goes into the hands of the government. And that's really what's going on here. And once you know it's going on there, you realize this litigation, like, forget it. But wait, you might say, let's not ask for money. Let's send the bums to jail. Let's all lock them up. That's an interesting concept. So I happen to have a sibling that worked for a drug company. We don't need to say the name of the drug company, because a company is a company. This is what they do. They have employees whose only job is to go to jail in the event that the company gets convicted of something. How's that for a job? As you guessed, it pays pretty well. And while you're serving your sentence, of course, your family is taken care of. Don't need a college degree for that job, do you? So if you decide you're going to lock up executives, we'll call it, from the company, that's going to be pretty ineffective, because up front there are people who have agreed that they will go to jail in the event that jail time is determined to be the reasonable penalty. Well, Dr. Daniels, can we do is punish these people? Again, crime and punishment are really ineffective concepts. So what you're really thinking about is, okay, what's our objective? Reduce the deaths from opioids. How could it be achieved within what we're asking for here is government relief? Ha, ha, ha. as my cousin would say when we were kids, he would say, "Well, Jennifer, hardy har har." And so that seems appropriate here, hardy har har. So question, what kind of government relief could the government give you if the government wanted to give the citizens relief? So the government really wanted to reduce the opioid epidemic. What could they do? What they could do, if they're hell-bent on incarcerating somebody, is make it a lottery. If you work for this particular corporation, a crime is committed, oh, we'll just pull names out the hat and see who goes to jail. More when we come back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Give such delight. We all leave before morning light.
Hi, Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. All right, so people don't have a lot of comments about today's show. I personally think it's a fascinating topic. All right, so if you really think that incarcerating people is the answer, then the effective answer would be to incarcerate people randomly. And so every time there's a death from opioids, you have maybe five different companies on rotation, and you pull a lottery, which company are this company, then put a lottery, all their employees, I mean the secretary, the receptionist, the guy who mops the floor, the people in advertising, everybody, its names in that bucket. In fact, take out the name of the presidents and vice presidents. No, 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 no. Don't even think about locking them up. Don't do it. And you pull a name from the hat, and that person serves the prison sentence. That's it. And you keep doing that, and you keep doing that. After a while, no one will even want to work for any of those companies. Like, I don't want to be in that lottery. So that's one way. But I don't think that that is necessary. And, you know, it might not be the kind of country you want to live in. You know, you want to be kind of everything nice and genteel and, you know, atmosphere of kindness. So I just like to point out these drugs are FDA approved. Yeah, they're FDA approved. Why don't we withdraw FDA approval? How about that, number one? Number two, why don't we make the drugs no longer eligible for reimbursement in any government medication payment plan? How about that? How about the government simply withdraw all of its support for these drugs? If you think about it, the government has a tremendous impact in creating the monopoly, the licensure, the FDA approvals to make these drugs possible. The next thing the government could do if it wanted to get rid of the death rate from these drugs is it could relieve doctors of the obligation of the standard of care. Tell the doctors, we don't care what you do. You don't have to stick to the standard of care. You can do what you think is best, and we only hold you responsible if there's patient harm. Well, that changes everything. All of a sudden, a doctor can say, whoa, 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 that drug is harmful. I'm not prescribing it because it's harmful. I don't want to do harm. See how that works? But now, if a doctor says, I don't want to prescribe that drug because it's harmful, he can lose his license for picking and choosing. Not that drug, that drug, that drug, not that drug. So doctors are not allowed to do that. They have the standard of care. And they have to use these drugs if the drug is approved by the FDA and listed in a protocol given to them by their insurance company, drug company, or hospital. That's the pressure people are under. And as a doctor, I can tell you, I made up my mind I was not prescribing narcotics. And I met a lot of pressure and negative feedback from insurance companies, health clinics where I was employed. And even the medical society had the nerve to call my office and say, Dr. Daniels, is it true what we heard, that you're not prescribing narcotics? I said, yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. I did it. So this article totally ignores all of the pressures on a doctor to prescribe narcotics. Now, a lot of doctors have bills to pay. They have a mortgage. They have educational loans. They have a lot of pressure to economic pressure to be obedient, to obey the licensing board, to obey, obey, obey. Of course, I didn't have any educational loans. I didn't have a mortgage. Kids were homeschooled. They didn't go to private school. So I didn't have any bills. I didn't have any big bills. And even better, I didn't have a spouse. I didn't have a spouse to say, we have these plans. We need this money. You got to back. Across the sea.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.